Hey folks, before we get started, I just wanted to say that if this is your first time listening to the podcast, I suggest you pause and start at episode one, because there may be some parts in here that you don't understand. So for the past couple of months, this has been my background music. I've been typing up lots of cover letters, including this one. Dear Croc Fellowship Committee, I didn't grow up listening to NPR, but now I turn on NPR before I turn on my coffee maker. This is for the National Public Radio Croc Fellowship, a fellowship that is extremely competitive, but would be my get out of jail free card. If I got this, not only would I be able to go to Washington, D.C. and work alongside some of the best radio reporters and producers in the country, I would also get $40,000 plus benefits and paid vacation. My jaw is still open just thinking about it. And if I want to pursue radio, this is the dream opportunity.
Oh my God, I hate this because you think you're like, I hope everything is ready. I hope everything is perfect. I hope everything is as good as it can be. All right, how did you hear about this job? NPR.org, are you eligible to work in the United States? Yes. Have you or will you receive a degree by spring 2015? Yes. All right, submitting. Submit. Your application was submitted successfully. Thank you for applying. Woohoo! All right. Yes. On to the next one. On to the next one.
I'm Megan Tan, and you're listening to Millennial, a podcast series about what no one really teaches you, how to maneuver your 20s, captured in real time. After submitting the application, nothing is certain. And that uncertainty leads me to do something completely unexpected. I go to one of the top radio shows in the country, and I ask them for a job. Even though Jay-Z is my hype man, especially when I'm submitting applications to my dream jobs, Jay-Z can't protect me from being rejected, which has already happened multiple times. So because of that, over the next couple of days, I try to tell myself, don't have any expectations. It's better to block it out of your mind and pretend like you didn't even apply to the fellowship. But it's hard, especially when I'm one of the last people at the restaurant and I'm collecting all the candles and wiping down all the tables, because I tend to let myself daydream. I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'm standing in front of a professional microphone, making adjustments on the soundboard, and I'm reading a script and smiling. And I admit, there's a part of me that thinks that getting a job is like being in a fairy tale. All I have to do is submit applications online, and then I would be at home and I would get this phone call from one of the places I applied for, and they would say, "We want you. We're going to lift you out of your closet studio and drop you into a job surrounded by amazing people, and you're going to make something that you love, and you're going to get paid a lot of money. Or at least enough to not be stressed out."
Why, it's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
But I'm starting to realize that even though you may look good on paper, like you've already interned at one of the top radio shows in the country, and you're making a podcast on your own, and you're driven, and you're curious, and you're ready to jump in and just work, you're still waiting for someone to choose you. After a couple months, I still haven't heard back from the fellowship I applied for, and I start to think, maybe the joke is on me. Maybe the fairy tale in my head doesn't actually exist, and sending in applications from the comfort of my home doesn't actually work. Maybe I'm missing something. All right, keep going.
This is you. This is Ravenna.
Ravenna is a friend of mine who now works at NPR in DC.
I'm asking, does Ravenna understand how much you want and what you want.
And this is Ben. He's standing in front of our whiteboard, drawing lots of circles. The biggest circle in the middle has my name on it. He's drawing a web of all the people that I know in radio.
Now, don't answer that question, because we're going to ask it for everybody. This is, what's his name? Who's the guy in New York?
Alex Kaplman.
Alex. Alex has all of these. Does Alex understand what you are, what you want, and what you're prepared to do to get that? Because he has the connections out here to get you closer. You have multiple of these.
Listening to Ben, I kind of feel like I'm in a locker room during halftime, and my coach is giving me specific instructions about how I can win the game.
Do they understand the gravity of what you want and what you're ready to do to get what you want?
When Ben says they, he means all the people that I know in radio in New York City, which is a lot. After interning at Radiolab, one of the most popular shows in the country, it makes sense that if I want to break into the radio industry, the people who I need to talk to are the people that I used to work with. But at this point, none of them actually know that I want to pursue a career in radio.
I just don't want to come across as desperate.
Okay, well, you are desperate, so you have to own that. You can't sit up here on the hill in Maine and pretend to be aloof and think people are going to contact you.
I'm afraid of knocking on doors of people who I admire and they're just like, I don't know if I can't do anything for you. And feeling like our relationship is going to change because I do that. What?
I think it's an irrational fear, and I don't think that's what it's actually about.
What do you think it's actually about, then?
It's that you're embarrassed. It's not about that you're afraid you're going to damage the relationship you have with somebody. You're afraid that they're going to look down on you now.
Yeah, I don't want them to look down on me.
Okay, so this is it. This is the options. The best way, and you know this, the best way for you to get a job is through your connections, right? All the jobs that you're applying for, you think they've already chosen people based on who they know. You know people, but you won't tell them what you want because you're embarrassed. And it means you won't get a job.
So I need to just get over the fact that I'm embarrassed and think about I have nothing else. I have nothing else going for me right now, and just do it and call up Jad Abumrad, have coffee with him and say, hey, I am at the bottom and I want to get better and I want to know how I can be in this industry. Do you know anyone who needs someone to help them? Because I want to help. You think I should do that?
At this point, Ben didn't have to respond. The moment he said, you need to go to New York City and talk to all the people that you know in radio, I could feel everything tighten, and I got butterflies in my stomach, and I felt like I was kind of going to throw up, because I'm scared. I'm scared that I'm going to go in front of all of these people that I admire, tell them what my dreams are, and they're going to laugh at me. And they're going to say, we can't help you.
Hi. I just bought my ticket online for Boston to New York. Do I need to show anything besides like a
cumber? Show your reservation number at the gate.
Okay. All right. And it's at gate 25, I think. Okay. Thank you. What time should I get there?
It boards 15 minutes before.
Okay. Thank you.
When I did finally board the double-decker megabus to New York City, I tried really hard not to think about how underprepared I was. I mean, what was I going to say? Hey, all the people I admire in radio, do you know of any positions open? Can you help me find a job? Are you guys hiring? The more I thought about it, the more I wish I wasn't on the bus.
"15 minutes early? That's good. Good morning. How are you guys? I'm visiting WNYC. I'm visiting Radio Lab this morning.
8th floor?
Thank you. Just like I remember, 2 years ago. Hi. How are you? I am. Yeah, I have. I'm just recording, saying hi to people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great. We can make the rounds and you can say hi to everybody.
You're recording.
I'm recording saying hi to you guys.
No, that's so weird. Hey.
What's going on? I have that same kind of shirt.
Yeah?
Yeah. You look so spiffy. My goodness.
Yeah, I'm a very stylish person, you know. Style is key for radio.
Hey! How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you too.
I got a whole kit going on here.
I know.
For the record, I was cringing a little as I walked around with my recorder, recording the conversations that I'm having with other more established radio producers. But I tried not to think about it.
So how you been?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
This is Kelsey. Kelsey and I interned together at Radiolab about 2 years ago. We both moved to New York City from far away. We walked each other through nervous first-time pitches, and we calmed each other down after our first starstruck experiences with big names in radio. The only difference was, after our internship, Kelsey stayed in New York City and was eventually offered a job with Radiolab, while I went back to school to finish up my degree.
Can I get a soy latte?
Just have almond milk.
Yes, that's great. For here.
Fast forward 2 years, here we are, sitting in a coffee shop. And it feels kind of strange, because I'm sitting across from someone who I started out with. Except now, she's a part of the VIP club, and I'm on the opposite end, with my face up against the glass, peering in. But up until now, Kelsey had no idea that I was out here, looking in, until I told her.
I am in Maine. I'm really ready to move.
Yeah.
And I want to do radio.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm trying to just figure out, like, where to go and what to do. Like you were talking to you 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, where you were like, I want to do, and you were like, I want to do this thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, who, like, how do I do it? I remember you just being like,
Yeah. I asked so many people that question, and it was, like, kind of annoying, but I did. I was like, what do I do?
Yeah, I'm just, like, looking for opportunities and just, like, applying to anything, really. I'm applying to, like, a lot of places.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody who needs help?
It's weird though, like I don't very often, I think some people get the like, people call them and they're like, hey, do you know anyone who could do this job? I'm not generally that person, I'm not yet, you know what I mean? Like I think someday I'll be that person, but I'm such a baby still in this world, so I don't know, I'm not the person people look to for like suggestions.
Kelsey wasn't the only person I spoke to and had this conversation with.
Hey!
How you doing?
I have this recorder, of course.
You're recording already?
Yeah, I just recorded our saying hi.
During the week, I also had lunch with Alex Kappelman. He was in episode 3. He's a close friend and the co-founder and producer of the podcast Pitch. And then I went out dancing with Matt Kilty and Andy Mills, two Radiolab producers, and Bianca Gaver. We listened to Slavic music in Brooklyn and got really sweaty. And then I had breakfast with Molly Webster, who is also another producer at Radiolab. She and I talked about Ohio, which we are both from, in between talking about radio as we shared our thing of grits. After running up and down New York City, by the end of the week, I was exhausted.
I'm in Bed-Stuy. There are bars outside the window, but you know, that's okay. I'm like really excited right now because I'm meeting all these people and I'm seeing old faces and I can talk to them about things that are relevant in radio and we can have a good time. And I'm afraid I'm going to go back to Portland and I'm just going to be isolated and in the dark again and like feeling really shitty about not being surrounded by radio.
After talking one-on-one with numerous radio producers, I still hadn't had the conversation that I wanted to. No one said to me, "Yeah, there is a job. Let me hook you up." But maybe that would all change in the morning. Before I arrived to New York City, I reached out to one other person, a person that I'm always nervous about emailing.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Hey, I'm Jad Abumrad.
Jad Abumrad. For those of you who don't know Jad, I'll just tell you. In the radio world, he's a big deal. He is the creator of Radiolab, the show which has about 1.5 million people listening from all over the world each week. So basically, Jad is a big shot. Millions of people know his name, and I am a newbie. I mean, my mom still calls me Maggie Boo when we're in public. And we're going to get breakfast together. And I'm going to ask him if he can help me get a job in radio. I am terrified.
I'm gonna let it shine. Come on, let it. Come on, let it. Come on, let it shine. Who woke you up? God woke you up this morning. You should let it shine. Well, God woke you up this morning. Help us out, New York.
At this point, I don't really know what I'm going to say to him. And I know that if I think about it too much, it's going to feel like I'm trying too hard and it's going to feel forced. But at the same time, I'm going in there with a purpose, and that is to ask him about getting a job in radio, but I want it to be organic.
With Jad. I hope it's going to be a good talk. I'm excited and nervous. All right. Good luck.
Don't judge me. I do tend to record myself talking to myself before big moments like this. So as I'm walking up to the restaurant, I have my recorder in my hand. And I decide to turn it off. I did not record the conversation that I had with Jad. Believe me, I thought about it, but I really couldn't bring myself to record my conversation with him. I mean, I was already so nervous about what I was going to say and how I was going to say it. And then to bring a recorder into the mix, it just sounded like a mess. So I went to the restaurant early. I sat down at a table, ordered a cup of coffee. And not long after, he walked in the door. We talked for an hour. And after I left, I immediately called Ben.
Are you there?
Yep.
I just had breakfast with Jad.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I always get really nervous because, you know, because I listen to him and he just feels very distant from my life. Because he's like, Jad, you know. So, like, when I sit down and I have breakfast with him, it's just like we hug when we see each other. It's just like, really funny. It kind of makes me feel like after my breakfast conversation with him, I just feel like everybody in New York City is really nice, you know. You know, like, we sat down and I thought we were going to chit-chat about life a little bit, but he was just kind of like, so what's up? You know, like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I want to talk about how I really want to become a radio producer, and I want to know if you know anybody who needs help. And, yeah, he said, you know, like, let me think about that, but I'll definitely, like, I know this guy who's starting this, like, thing about home repairs, and they may want somebody, and we don't need to hire anybody right now, but I'll definitely keep you on my mind. We may be doing this thing. Da, 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 da. There's always tons of stuff at WNYC that needs to be done. I will, you know, like, I'll send an email to this guy, and then I'll just, like, keep you on the radar. And, like, I don't know if anything is going to come out of it immediately, and I don't expect it to, but just, like, yeah, you're right. Just to have people know that you, like, you're serious about doing this thing, and, like, now you are on their radar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, that meeting, yeah, like, that breakfast is, like, the whole reason why I came here.
Jad and I didn't just talk about who he knew in radio and how I could get a job. We talked about a lot of things, including how he got started in radio. He was making Radiolab in the dark by himself before he started receiving any kind of recognition. And that being ignored is sometimes exactly what needs to happen in order for you to make something that you're really proud of. Something that's driven by your gut and something that's timeless. I also gave Jad my first business card, which I had hand-drawn that morning on a piece of stock paper. I didn't tell him that part. But instead, I told him I was making a side project called Millennial so that I could practice radio despite not having a job and not having any kind of infrastructure. He told me that was great and that I should keep doing it. When I left New York City, I didn't leave with a job in my pocket, but I did leave feeling more confident. I realized that I had this group of people who I could rely on and talk to, and that those relationships were going to last longer than any job I have in the future.
Night, Will.
As I close up the restaurant, it's really easy to feel like Cinderella. Last night I was in New York City, hanging out with all of my favorite radio people. And today, I'm one of the last people to leave the restaurant. And it's my turn to collect the candles, wipe down the tables, and polish the silver. During moments like these, a part of me still wants the fairy tale. Editing help to create this episode was provided by Ben Severance and Dylan Ward. Also, special thanks to Kelsey Padgett, Molly Webster, Andy Mills, Lynn Levy, Matt Kilty, Jamie York, Ellen Horn, Melissa O'Donnell, Jad Abumrad, and the rest of the Radiolab staff for allowing me to come in with my recorder. Before we give you scenes from the next episode of Millennial, I want to invite you to send me a story about when you did something like this, or made a pitch in front of someone for the sake of getting a job when you were in your 20s. Send your story to Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at millennialpodcast.org. Also, if you'd like to know when the next episode of Millennial is coming out, go to millennialpodcast.org and sign up for the newsletter. You'll be the first to know, along with my mom. That's all for now. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening. Now, back to the show. Next time on Millennial, after months of waiting, part of the fairy tale starts to become real when I have my first interview for a possible job making radio.